Or as one kid said, Nehemiah, shortest guy in the Bible. Nehemiah. I love the book of Nehemiah. Has so much that will speak both individually and collectively. But I want to talk about, just for a few minutes, about fulfilling the vision. We're going to look at some things just real quickly. I'll do my best not to preach on these things, but I want to mention some things, and then we're going to pray. Because I believe this with all my heart. I believe that God has a vision for us here at Grace. He has a purpose for us. I mean, you know, it's like he said, you know, Mordecai said to Esther, he said, you know, God has raised you up for such a time as this. And I believe that he has. I do not believe it is coincidence. Amen. I don't believe that God directs me anywhere by coincidence. Now, if you believe he does that for you, that's fine. But I don't believe that in my case. Amen. I don't think God says, well, let's see, where can we put that guy? You know, he's brought us together. And I want to tell you, we need to have a sense of destiny about our lives. That God has a plan and a purpose. That all that God has deposited in us, all the experiences we've gone through, all the things God has taught us, has brought us up to this point in time. And all of that coming together, all the gifts that God's developed, all the things He's deposited in you, all the words God's spoken to you, whether in your prayer closet, times like this where we pray and fast. And I pray too. You know, there are a lot of reasons why, you know, I encourage you and call for times of prayer and fasting. And one of those things is that we would begin to let this be a regular tool that we put in our spiritual toolbox. This becomes a lifestyle. That we don't have to wait for the pastor to call for a time of fasting. I incorporate this into my life, you know. And I begin to see the benefit. I begin to see the spiritual benefit. You know, Beverly and them go back there, and I guess Pastor Pock is here. Is he going to be taking y'all? And, you know, but they're back there, you know. They're going through that exercise. Why? You know, because what bodily exercise has some benefit. But you know what? Paul said, but godliness has more benefit. Amen. And so as we put these times together, there is reawakened in us that sense of destiny, that sense of purpose, that calling that God has on us as a person and as a people together. And I want to tell you what, there's a fresh energy that begins to flow out of you. And I'm telling you what, rather than feeling weak and run down and discouraged and all, I mean, you're like, bless God. Man, where is he? Man, you know, Popeye used to, you remember the cartoon Popeye used to eat that spinach? Oh, man, and he'd get this thing going right here. Woo, for the knockout blow. That's the way I feel, Mickey. Woo, man, I feel like ready for the knockout blow. And Nehemiah, I just want to share a few things here that I believe pertain to us as a people here at Grace and can pertain to your life too as well. You know, that a sense of destiny. And, you know, in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah in chapter 1, it starts out, you know, the people of Israel, the biggest part of them have been taken into bondage because of their own sin. And here Nehemiah, he has heard about those who were left there in Jerusalem. Verse 3, it says, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province in Jerusalem are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept, and for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven. You know, as we look around the landscape in our nation, man, we can look and we can be just like Nehemiah. And you know what? The thing about is we should keep our hearts should be tender. When we see the walls of our nation broken down, when we see what is happening all around us to our nation, the lost, and where our you know, our nation is headed, and where our government has taken us, and where we've just abdicated in the church. We've abdicated authority to the prince of this world, to the God of this world, and we've just letting him take over. When we see the walls broken down, when we see the tragedy of our nation, we should be moved just like Nehemiah. We should be saying, oh God of heaven, this is not right. This is not what you've called us to. This is not what you called the nation to. And you have called us here at Grace for such a time as this. We're going to be like Nehemiah. We're going to give ourselves to mourning, to humbling ourselves, to fasting and prayer and crying out to God that he would again raise up a people and rebuild the walls. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, our nation didn't get in this shape just because of Washington, D.C. It got in this shape a lot because the church went to sleep. I'm talking about as a whole. The church went to sleep. We let the walls be broken down. The walls in our families, the family unit's been broken down. The walls in our institutions, we've taken God out of it. All of these things have broken down. The morality's broken down. All the stuff. And you know what? We sat by, and you know, we're like Nero who fiddled, you know, while Rome burned. We were so consumed with our own little world and our own little things that we didn't let it go. And I said I wasn't going to preach, and I've gone to doing it. I'm sorry. But he said the people were in great distress. As we look around, what do you see? People are in great distress. And the first thing that we should do is the thing we have been doing. That is humble ourselves before God, Grace, and with fasting and praying and crying out to God. And I believe if we do that, listen, before we do, there are other things we have to do, but before we do anything else, we've got to do that. You know, last Sunday I talked about first things. First things. And I want to tell you, this is one of the first things we have to do if we're going to see the purpose and plan of God for our nation and for us as salt and light to be a part of that. It says he prayed and fasted there in verse 5. And then it's interesting, yet in the second thing God did is he sent the prayer. You know what? Many times the people God stirs, or put it this way, the people that respond to the stirring of God and begin to cry out and begin to fast and begin to pray, those are the people God's going to send first. You're going to end up being the answer to some of your prayer. You're going to end up being the vessel that God will anoint. You will be the one that God will flow through. You'll be the one that will carry the message, that will carry the anointing, that will carry that to your generation. So I'm just telling you, those of you that are participating in this time of prayer and fasting, get ready. Hallelujah. Amen. Good things are coming. Because what? You are to be, just be ready. Have a mindset that God is going to use you. God is going to use me. Not just the preacher, not just the pastor, not just the elder. God's going to use me. Little old me. Me, 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 me. God's going to use me. God's going to anoint me. I'm gonna be out there in the highways and the byways. I'm gonna be out there interacting with people. God's gonna open people's hearts. God's gonna present an opportunity to me, and I'm gonna seize it. Amen. Amen? Amen. Because you look, it said that he said again in chapter 2, verse 5. He said, you know, he was there, you know, and the king, you know, he was a cupbearer, and the king says, "What's going on?" And he explained about what was happening. And the king says, "What is it you want?" He said, "Then I pray to the God of heaven, and I answer the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in the sight, let him send me to the city in Judah." Here's the thing. Our king, King Jesus, we should have that same attitude. God, if Jesus, if it pleases you, my Lord King, if it pleases you, send me. Send me to restore the walls. Send me to bring hope and encouragement to the people. Send me with the message. Send me with the anointment. Let me be the cupbearer of the king. Let me take the message and the anointing to my generation. You know, God will use us if we are willing. Listen, if God can anoint a donkey, bless God, there's hope for us. Isn't that right? I take great encouragement from that. But here's the thing. We have to recognize this. Okay, God's probably going to send us first. Why? Because we're the ones that's already responded. We're crying out to God. We are positioning ourselves through humbling ourselves by fasting and prayer. We're positioning ourselves. You know, GPS, God's positioning. Spirit. GPS. God's positioning us so that what we're ready to respond. We're ready to go out. We're vessels that can be. Now, we have to understand this too. The work, the need was extensive. Look down in chapter 2, verse 13. Let me get over there. Verse 13. He responds. He goes. He's sent by God. He's arrived at Jerusalem. And in verse 13 in chapter 2, he says, "By night I went through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate, the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. And finally I turned back and reentered the valley gate." Now notice, he went and surveyed all this, and it was an extensive, I mean, everything was disheveled. Everything was in a mess. And I want to tell you what, if Nehemiah had not known that he was there on the business of the king, the heavenly king, if he did not know that he was a man sent with a mandate, sent with a mission, if he had not known that he was a man of purpose and destiny, when he saw the extent of the need and the work there, I'm telling you, he would have been ready to go back where it was nice and easy in the king's house. And I want to tell you what, one of the reasons I believe that God is calling us to times of fasting and prayer is to build up the inner man and to get that strength, because too often in the church, we've looked out there just like Nehemiah did. We saw the extent, we saw everything that was wrong and how much it was, and we felt overwhelmed and we retreated to our four walls. Because it's safer here. It's safer here. Amen. We all talk the same Christianese language. Amen. We all can, you know, we can lift our hands. We can do all those things. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you what. Listen, there's coming a time when we're not going to be able to play it safe anymore and make a difference. Listen. If we will do that, you know what we'll become? We'll become agents of change. Agents of change. Notice down in chapter 2, verse 17, or verse 16. He said, "The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because I had not yet said anything to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the officials or any who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace.' I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said. And they replied, 'Let us start rebuilding.' So they began this good work." Listen, it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. There's got to be a John the Baptist somewhere. There's got to be an Anna. There's got to be a Simeon. There's got to be somewhere that God stirs and they respond and begin to intercede and pray. There's got to be somebody somewhere that rises up, that comes just seemingly out of the woodwork, as it was, with a now message and a word and an anointing from God. Amen. And there's no reason why it can't start here at Grace. There's no reason why it can't start with us. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness. He came out of a place that nobody was expecting, nobody could have predicted, nobody was looking for. In that day, everybody would be looking to the rabbinical school of the day. Yet it pleased God to raise him up. Why? Because somebody was hungry. Somebody said that, you know, there is a cause, there is a time, and God is ready. And God, as for me, I'm ready. And sometimes, you know, we may feel like, oh, I feel so inadequate. Well, join the crowd. But here's the thing. Didn't God say, even to the great apostle Paul, he said, "In your weakness, my strength is made perfect." It's made perfect. You know what? You think about it. You know what kind of bush was burning when Moses saw the burning bush? Anybody know what kind of bush it was? That was a tree, wasn't it? I don't think it said what kind of bush, did it? You know why? Because the bush is not important. Any bush will do. It's the fire of God that matters. So your bush is just as good as anybody's bush. God will light His fire on your bush, as it were, just as quickly as He will anybody else's. Because it was the fire that mattered, not the bush. Isn't that right? So, yes, as vessels, we want to sanctify ourselves. We want to get ourselves in position. But I want to tell you what, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from after the natural, if you will get yourself in alignment with God, if you will allow God to ignite a fire in you, I'm telling you what, it's the fire of God that matters. Any bush will do. Yeah. Amen? That's what I'm, is for a bush. So God's going to use us. Now, here's the thing. How many of you know, even though God raises us up, God anoints us, God stirs our hearts, God uses us to as a catalyst to get others hearing the message and getting in line with God. How many of you know there's going to be opposition? There's opposition. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry. Listen, not everybody's going to like it when God begins to move. Not everybody's going to like it when you return to your first love in God. Not everybody's going to like it when the anointing of God's flowing out of you. When you are speaking the word of the Lord. Not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to be happy about it. And I'm going to tell you, some of the people that's not going to like it is going to be some of the people that go to church with you. It's going to be some of the religious people. It's people that are comfortable, that don't want to change. Oh, let's don't stir the pot because, you know, all that stuff is settled and it's out of sight, so it must not be hurting us. Listen, God stirs the pot, so what? He wants to get that junk out, doesn't He? It says, so sad. It said they became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria. I mean, boy, talk about intimidation. Man, he came along, you know, and had brought his army with him. That's intimidation, isn't it? And he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? What in the world do you think you're going to do there at Grace? Lord of mercy. You got that crazy preacher there. What do y'all think y'all going to do? You think God's going to do something there? Oh, we've heard that. I don't know how many times we've heard it. We've been hearing that for 15 years or 25 years or ever, how long it is. Isn't that the same? There's nothing new about that, is it? He said, will they restore their wall? Isn't that what the enemy is saying now? Will the church rise up? Are you really going to see the power of God in your generation? Are you really going to reach your generation? Are you going to see this harvest that you're talking about? Are you really going to see God pour out His Spirit like He prophesied? Is it really going to happen? Aren't you just following pipe dreams? Aren't you just imagining all this? Isn't this just all emotion? You know, and you're going to calm down, be a nice little Christianette. God didn't call us to be a Christianette. He says, will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life and the heaps of rubble burned as they are? Oh, man, this guy, he was laying it on, wasn't he? And you know what? There are always going to be the naysayers. In the midst of the move of God, even, there will be naysayers. There will be people that will point out what's wrong rather than what's right. They will be pointing out where people missed it rather than where God's moving. It's always easy to criticize, isn't it? You know, and I've always found this. Those that are not moving with God usually are the biggest critics of the move. You look at it in Jesus' day. Man, they, listen, all the priesthood and the rabbis and the scribes, they had their system down pat. And here comes this little old upstart from Nazareth. I mean, bless God, he wasn't even from Jerusalem. He's from Nazareth. And he comes in here and starts teaching and starts turning over the money tables and running out the people out of the temple. And he's turning things upside down. This crazy man. You know, we just got rid of one of them. How many are there? You know, they just chopped off John the Baptist's head. Now they got bigger problems they had before because this guy, he's working miracles. I want to tell you what. The greatest danger is not going all out for God. It's going part way. It's going part way. Listen, you're going to get your clock cleaned. You know what I mean by that? I mean, I remember years and years and years ago, played football. And I want to tell you what. When you're out there and that play's going, if you start, you know, before you hear that whistle sound and you just kind of, you know, just start stopping and slowing down and standing around, you're going to get thyself hurt. Because somebody's going to say, hot dog, pow. And you know what? It's the same way with the devil. You get in here. Listen, you don't believe me. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. They were in the midst of a great move of God. But they only went part way. Remember it says they held back. Are you out there? They held back. And listen, there's a lot of Christians might not, you know, some are holding back, you know, the money belongs to God, but some of them are holding back what? Their full commitment. They're holding back. They're keeping back part. And I want to tell you what, that's a dangerous place to be. Because you're in the midst of a move of God, and if you're not all the way in it, then I want to tell you what, you're not going to be equipped and ready and protected when the enemy counterattacks. You're going to be like that guy hanging around, you know, going half-hearted on that football play. I mean, somebody's going to come by and clean your clock. Boy, this is pretty good stuff. Listen, what did he do when the opposition come? He stayed focused on what God had called him to do. Nehemiah 6, notice what it says here in verse 1. He said, when the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in the villages on the plain of Ono. Boy, that's prophetic, isn't it? Oh, no. That's exactly what he told them too, didn't he? He said, but they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them. Notice, he said this, I am carrying on a great work and cannot go down. Listen, the enemy will try everything to distract you from the purpose of God. Did you hear what they said? Did you hear what they said? Yeah. And what is he? He gets us, what? Distracted by focusing on this, that, and the other. And really, things that are not even important. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. They should have done this. They should have done that. They said this. Blah, blah, blah. And you know, if we listen to that, what we do is we go down to the plain of Ono. And I'm going to tell you, it's a play on words, but that's exactly what we'll be hearing in the church. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Why did we get distracted? Why didn't we stay focused? And see, that's the thing about Nehemiah. He said, listen, I'm in the midst of a God plan, of a God work, of a God destiny, and I will not be distracted by all the things of the flesh, of the world, and of, you know, and of carnal Christians. I'm going to stay focused. I'm not going to get in a fight with my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to let unforgiveness and strife in. I'm going to stay focused. Amen. On what God called us to do. That's the good thing about times of prayer and fasting, because you know what it does? It brings you back into focus. And you realize what's important. You know, all this other stuff may be okay, but I'm going to tell you what. Bless God, what's important. God, I don't need a bigger house. I don't want another new car. I don't want a big bank account. I want to see the move of God. I want to see the harvest of God. I want to see God move in this generation. I want to see the kingdom of God built up. I want to see the church revived and the strength of God and the supernatural power of God flowing in and out of the church again. Because nothing else is worth giving ourselves to. Going to lay down my life for a Cadillac. Nothing wrong with a Cadillac. If you own a Cadillac, wonderful. I don't care if you own 20, long as they don't distract you. That's just me. I don't care. But I want to tell you what, I'm not going to lay my life down for it. I'm going to stay focused. And you know, here's the thing too, if we're going to do what God called us to do, we're going to have to give up being offended. Because it's going to happen. Jesus promised it. He said, there are going to be offenses. He said, blessed is he that is not offended, though, that won't take up an offense. Because you'll be misunderstood. What other people do, you will misunderstand. There'll be all kinds of reasons and great opportunities to take up offense. You know what? But I want to tell you what. The work we're involved is too important. I will not go down to the plane of oh no. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay focused. What did God call us to do? What is the great plan and purpose of God? So he said they stayed focused. And then they were prepared to fight for the work. Look in 6:14. It says, he spoke to them. He said, he's praying again. He said, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, oh my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet. That's not the verse I want. Hold on a minute. Oh, 4, excuse me. 4:14, excuse me. 4:14. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Listen, we're not fighting for a bigger bank account. We're not fighting for an Armani suit. We're not fighting for any of these natural things. We've got to remember what we're focusing. We're fighting for our sons, our daughters, our neighbors. We're fighting for souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere. And we've got to be ready to fight. We can't be wimpy Christians. This is why we got to keep our swords sharp. We got to keep our spirit man keen. We got to keep an edge on us. Amen. That we hear what God is saying. We follow in the steps that God's laid out for us. And we're ready to fight. Bless God, I'm ready to fight for you. I'm ready to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm not going to kick you. I'm not going to beat you. If you get knocked down, bless God, I'm going to be there to get you up. Amen. Shame on you if you kick somebody while they're down. Shame on you if you do that. You say, yeah, but they had it coming. Well, bless God, aren't you glad you didn't get what you had coming? Isn't that right? You know. Here's the thing, folks. Listen, let's be ready to fight for one another. Man, somebody comes around and starts talking a bad report about you. I'm going to tell them, shut up. Well, that's not nice. Well, what do you call what they're doing? You know, and have you ever noticed this? If you allow somebody to come and criticize another brother or sister or bring a tale to you about another brother and sister, if you allow it to hear that, then you got to deal with it. Isn't that right? Then you got to deal with all the junk in your heart that rises up about that. You know, that wants to believe it, that wants to go tell it, wants to go spread it. Listen, let's fight for one another. Amen? Amen? I'm almost through here. Don't worry, we're going to pray. Thank you. I know. It is good. It says they were prepared. And then what was the result of that? In chapter 5, we see what? That Jerusalem, in chapter 5, divine order was restored. Divine order was restored. And listen, God wants to restore divine order to our lives, to our church, and to our nation. Look in verse 1 there. It says, now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. Listen, there is a great outcry that's rising up to God. Oh, you may not hear it, but it's rising up to God. People that have been wounded, people that have been hurt in the name of God. Some were saying, we and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain. Others were saying, we are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine. Boy, sounds familiar, doesn't it? Still others were saying, we've had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. And although we are of the same flesh and blood as our countrymen, and though our sons are as good as theirs, and yet we are have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. That's where our nation is. We're in slavery to the God of this world. We're in slavery. We've mortgaged our sons and daughters. They're bound up by the God of this world. They're in slavery. And listen, there's a great cry. Listen, remember over there in Exodus when God, you know, was speaking out of that bush that was burning, speaking out of that fire to Moses? He said, the cry of my people, of the people of Israel, has come up to me. Well, you know, you go on and read about those people. They didn't look all that spiritual, did they? I don't think they were having prayer meetings or anything. But I want to tell you what, something on the inside of them was crying out, we need deliverance. We cannot bear this any longer. We need deliverance. We need God to move on our behalf. We need God to move. And what did God do? He raised up someone and sent them forth. And listen, he said the same thing's happening here. He said, we're subject to slavery. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless. Boy, isn't that, let's just be honest. Where's the power in the church? I'm talking about here in America. Where's the power? We know about the power. We talk about the power. We preach about the power. We remember about the days of power. Amen. We've read about people who lived in power. We've admired them. I mean, you know, we've dissected power. We've looked at the etymology of the word power. We've done it all, except one thing, connected to the power. Where is the power? And I believe that's why God is stirring the hearts of people in the body of Christ to fast and pray and to cry out for revival, to cry out for repentance, to cry out for God to pour out His Spirit. Because I do not want a lifeless theology. Thank you. You say, oh, Pastor, you got to start preaching some happy messages. He said, but we are powerless because our fields and vineyards belong to others. Oh, boy. Listen, church, the fields and vineyards out there that belong to the Lord of the harvest, what has happened to our fields and our vineyards? We've sold them out to others. The God of this world, He has them. He's captured the hearts and minds of a generation. And listen, those people belong to God. Jesus said, pray you the Lord of the harvest. Listen, God, the harvest, the vineyards, the fields, they belong to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the people that dwell in it. He said, when I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. Listen, church, we need to get some righteous anger back in our lives. Amen. Oh, but Pastor, we want to be nice and sweet like Jesus was. You hypocrites, you vipers. That's some of the words of the sweet Jesus. Take up your cross. Ooh, Jesus, wait. Tell me about the blessing quick. Isn't that right? Listen, I promise you, if we do this, you won't have to worry about the blessing. He said, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind. and then accuse the nobles and officials. And he goes on and talked about it. He said, you're exacting usury from your own countrymen. And he says he called a meeting and he called them to task. Who is this upstart Nehemiah coming in here? And who the unmitigated gall. This guy, he just now got here. We've been living here all these years. And he comes in, this upstart, and starts telling us all this stuff. Huh? Listen, God will raise up new people with a voice. If we don't do it, someone else will. Divine order was restored, and then what was the result? The work was completed. 6:15, real quickly. He said, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. And when our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. 52 days. When you read the story, and you read all that he went through, it sounds so much longer, doesn't it? You know, when you're in the battle, when you're making these decisions that are not easy, when you're wanting to see a breakthrough in your life or in a church, you know, during that time period, I mean, you know, a few days or a few weeks can seem like, man, an eternity, can it? I mean, when you're going through a test or a trial, when you're pushing through, man, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I remember when I was in school, you know, English class was forever. Recess went by like that. Know what I'm talking about? Man, I just got out here. What do you mean? The bell's ringing to go back in. But man, you got an English class or history class, and you're like, this might keep me awake. We were in there for 3 days, weren't we? It wasn't but 50 minutes, but it seemed like 3 days. And it's like that when we are going through. But you know what? I want to tell you, they both had their place, but one can't take the place of the other. And yes, we want the glory. And yes, we want the miracles. And yes, we want to see all those things where God moves. But I'm going to tell you what. You know what? Somebody has got to stand at the wall. And with a sword in one hand and a trowel in another, have got to build that wall and fight the enemy and build that wall and fight the enemy and see the work completed. Amen. Somebody's got to do it. Amen. We can't all wait until it's done and show up to rejoice with everybody. Somebody has got to build and fight. And who will that be? Will it be us, or will God have to find someone else? Up to us, isn't it? And finally, the last thing, and we're going to pray. Restoration followed the completion. In Nehemiah 8, verse 1, says, when the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in the towns, remember the seven is God's perfect number, isn't it? All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. And you know, and he goes on and reads, and for the sake of time, I want to skip down to verse 14. It says, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, Feast of Tabernacles, and that they should proclaim this word, and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, and from myrtles and palms and shade trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and one gate by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile, they built booths and lived in them. And from, get this, from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, remembering that God was with them. And he said, listen, from the time of Joshua down to this time, many hundreds of years had gone by. But you know what? No matter how long it may have been since God moved, since we've seen the move of God, true revival, true repentance, and the outpouring of God's Spirit, no matter how long it may have been, it's never too late. Amen. If a people will humble themselves and seek the face of God and cry out, God will restore and joy will be great. And so here's the thing, Grace. We can do it or not do it. Nobody can prevent us but ourselves. God is for us. The enemy is defeated. Amen? So listen, nothing can prevent it. Not men, not the will of man, not the schemes and plans of men, not the wisdom of men, not even the evil intention of men. Because the Bible teaches us that good will always overwhelm and overcome evil. So it's just up to us. It's up to us. And these times and seasons, like this week, where we've humbled ourselves through fasting, where we've set aside times to seek God and to cry out to God. I want to tell you what, Grace. We're not going to do this and then let up. Man, I'm just getting ready to put the pedal to the metal. Yeah. How about you? You know, I just kind of been getting us warmed up with the 3-day fast. Amen. We need to get ready now to go for a week. And we're going to get to eventually where we're going to do at least one 21-day fast every year. Listen, I told you when I come here, I'm not a program person. I don't have some great program that we're going to throw together and everybody's going to come and bow down to our program, the golden calf of our program. I want people to come in and I want them to have a divine Holy Ghost encounter with God. And they may leave and they may not have all the theology for what happened to them like the blind man. And finally he just said, I'll tell you one thing. I can't explain it all theologically, but I'll tell you this much. Bless God, I was blind and now I can see. Hallelujah. That's all I care about, whether it's spiritually, whether it's in the natural, or whatever it is. People come in and yokes of bondage, things they have struggled and struggled and struggled with. They've been counseled. Demons have been cast out. It's been bound. It's been loosed. It's been done everything. And in a moment of time, why? Because somebody paid the price. God's people built the wall for a place where the glory of God and the power of God can be manifest. But it's up to you and I. And all I can say is, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going for it. How about you? Anybody in here want to go for it with me? We'll encourage one another, won't we? We'll encourage one another. Because listen, like I said, there's going to be opposition. And sometimes it comes, you know, from places where, you know, you think, why would they oppose this? You know, but here's the thing. We're going to stay focused. Say, okay, God, it's a great work that you want to do. I don't believe it's too late for the church or for our nation. But I'll tell you what, we don't have any time to waste either. There's no more time to get ready to get ready. I mean, we got to be ready. We got to move to the forefront. Somebody's got to move to the forefront. And I don't mean that in an ego way. I mean that in a spiritual way. Because a lot of people that God will use to bring this thing in will never be known about this side of heaven. But I'm going to tell you what. I'd rather be known up there than known down here. I'd rather have the report like Job had. God told Satan, he said, boy, you seen my man Job. Wouldn't you like, I'd like him to be able to say that. You seen my man Norris? You seen my girl Doris? You see my man Mickey, you see my girl Paulette. Wouldn't you? Man. So here's the thing. Let's just do it. Amen. Amen. Like I like to say sometimes humorously, I just double dog dare you. I'll tell you what. It'll be a ride. It'll be exciting. It'll cost you. May cost you some friends. Amen? Yeah. But I believe it's worth it. I believe it's worth it. Don't you? Amen. Well, I went longer than I meant to, but I think this is good for us to stir the pot. Amen. So these 3 days of prayer and fasting, we're gonna do this on a very regular basis, you know, and it's just going to be no pressure. Whoever wants to get in can get in, you know. This is not a thing that you can, you know, you either respond to how God's dealing with your heart, you know, and if God's not dealing with your heart, you can't do it anyway. John the Baptist said, no man can receive anything except it be given from God in heaven. Isn't that right? No anointing, no gift, no stirring, no hunger, no anything. Now, I believe we can do things, but I'm telling you what, ultimately, God's got to give it. So if God's put it in your heart, just like he put it in Nehemiah's heart, if he's put it in your heart, then that's the thing, man. Then here's the thing. Let's respond to what God's put in our heart. And pray for those that maybe that hasn't got it in their heart yet. Don't judge them. Just pray for them. So the more we can get on board, hallelujah, amen, the better amen it will be. Amen? Well, we don't have time to pray because I used up all our time, but that's all right. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I did it. I did it. But here's the thing, you know, you can go home tonight. You can go to your home. You can get in your prayer closet, whatever, you know. But here's the thing. Let's continue to cry out to God. Let's continue to cry out to God. Listen, don't let the fire burn. You know, keep throwing fuel on it. Man, keep throwing fuel on the fire God stirred these 3 days. Feed on the Word, you know. Let that discipline of prayer time, don't let that slip away from you again. You can keep that even if you're not fasting. Keep pouring fuel on the fire. Believing God, okay, for breakthrough. First in our lives, in our church, and then God use us to make a difference in our generation. Amen. Well, guys, we can give you opportunity to give. The ushers are going to come. Listen, I got another message for Sunday. Don't miss Sunday. Oh, Lordy. I'm loaded for bar, as they say. Hallelujah. Anybody wants an envelope? The ushers will give you one. If you're giving tonight, you want an envelope. Hallelujah. How good it is to invest in a winning proposition, the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? Jesus said you invest, and you will guarantee a return of 30. 60 or 100-fold. Woo! Hallelujah. That's got the guarantee of God's throne behind it. And you talk about gold standard. That's it. That's God's standard, isn't it? Everybody ready if you're giving? Hallelujah. Hold your offering there. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the moving of your Spirit. Lord, how precious it is. How precious it is. Thank you, Lord God. We are not a burnt over field, but we feel the wonderful presence, moving, promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's refreshing. It's life-giving. It's strengthening. It's empowering. Oh, God, how wonderful, wonderful, wonderful it is. Receive our investments. Receive our offerings for your kingdom, O God. And we thank you for the return, 30, 60, and 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, guys. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm energized. I feel like the Energizer Bunny on the inside. Was it Smith Wigglesworth said? He said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. You feel like that too? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're finished giving. Stand on your feet. Glory to God. I would encourage you sometime, go back and just, you know, read through prayerfully through Nehemiah. Let God open up to you the truths. I just kind of, even though I preached, I still barely skimmed the surface. We could have camped out anywhere along the way. But I believe there is a destiny for us here at Grace. Amen. I do. God's bringing people from all over. You say, Amen. He is. Yep. Amen. He is. Bringing people from all over the country. Yep. Praise God. Got Mickey down here. Glory to God. Not by accident, brother. Amen. Mitch and Paulette just uprooted their tent like Abraham. Came here, others too. Listen, and not only that, it's just, I tell you what, I sense something in God for us, Amen. Grace. Amen. And I'm telling you what, I'm grabbed hold of it, and I'm like that bulldog, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. Be like Jacob. God, we're not going to let you go till the blessing comes. Not for me. For all those out there. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I believe it is a now word, oh God. It is a kairos word for us here at Grace. May we receive it. May we ingest it. And Father, may we be doers of it. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing here. Thank you for the call upon this church and this people. Father, we say this, we are well able to possess the land. Thank you, Father. We'll give you all the glory. Jesus, we give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. For it's by your might and power and wisdom that it is done. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Man, amen. Let faith arise and let your enemies be scattered. Amen.